Will you stand with me? We're going to pray before we get into the Word of God. And the reason I'm asking you to stand is when we change our physical posture, it also changes spiritually too, yeah? And it's showing God that we're serious and that we want to honour Him and that we want Him to hear our prayers. Amen?
Amen.
So if you want to close your eyes, if you're comfortable, or if you want to lift a hand to heaven, you can do that too. So God, we acknowledge your presence here. We feel it. And we ask you, Lord, that in these moments you would speak to us. We want to be doers of your word, not just hearers of it. And we ask you, Lord, to forgive us for our sins, anything that we've done wrong, we're sorry. And we have open ears and open minds, and we love you, Lord. We trust that your word is the truth, amen?
Amen.
We believe that you have the best for us, amen?
Amen?
And we love you with all of our hearts, and we thank you in advance for what you're about to do. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Give God a round of applause and congratulations. Thank you very much. Very much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the title of today's word is Faith to Finish. Faith to Finish. And I always say it, anytime that I speak, I want to speak what God wants to say. I don't want to just do a teaching or something that's interesting. I always want to do what God wants to do. Amen?
Amen?
We should want that in our lives. And I had a different word this week, but it just wasn't it. And I was going, God, what do you want me to say? And then, as we just heard, I heard the passing of the mother of the house, Maya. And I said, okay, God, I have a sense now of what you want me to say. So this word is completely inspired by Myra Lenehan and her life, because she was faithful to the end. And she finished her walk, her marathon, her race for the Lord, and she's in heaven right now. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but when my day comes, I want to stand before the Lord for Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Do you want the same?
Yes.
So it's really important how we finish this life, how we do this life. And what I want to look at today is, how can I stay faithful in following God? How do I stay faithful? And there's a song called The Goodness of God. Do we know it?
Yes.
I'm going to sing it for you. I'm not a worship singer, but I can sing. If you have a voice, you can use it. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes. Michael.
Go high.
Go high.
Go high.
Because I went low the last one and then it didn't work out. You're going to sing with me, aren't you?
Yes.
I'll start us off.
Tom,
all my life, go on.
All my life,
you have been faithful. Oh, come on, sing it with me, isn't he?
Yes. All my life, you have been so, so.
This is a little church weekend back in 1998. So there's about 30 people, not even, I'd say, in the church, including kids. A pastor, Tom Burke, there is up on the top. Red shirt, black pants. Tom, you could still pull it off today, couldn't you, Dad? Must get that shirt back out. It's hiding somewhere. And you'll see some familiar faces. But I want to show you a portion of this picture. And it's Myra, and it's me. Now, I'm still rocking the curly hair. Shout out to all the curly haired ladies, you know how hard it is. It's very 90s what I'm wearing, the colour blocking. Yeah, we love that. We see Denise, my mum, with her hair. The hair is flowing. And you can see Myra there as well. And Myra was 88 when she went home to be with the Lord. If my maths is right, she was 62 in this picture, and I'm 6. So 6 and 62. And they say it takes a village to raise a child. Myra is part of my village. And when I was growing up, the church wasn't in this building. Yeah, we only came into this building about 10 years ago. But we used to go to rented halls and schools. And our first place was somewhere called the ICA Hall in Douglas. Was anyone there?
Yes.
We got some OGs, some originals. We didn't have kids' church. We had Sunday school. Yeah, and as a kid, that's the worst, because you're going, I'm in school all week, and I have to do school again on Sunday. And there was no music or jumping around or videos. We had a flip chart and the King James Bible. That's what we had for Sunday school. Didn't do me bad, did it?
No.
I came out all right, no? But one time when I was six, so this little girl, we did bookmarks as a craft in Sunday school, and mine was purple, and I gave mine to Myra. And Myra used to have this big Bible that she'd bring in, and I gave mine to Myra, and I remember her thanking me for it and talking to me about it. And every week she'd open up the Bible and show me what she'd been reading, and I'd see her bookmark that I'd given her. And when I was a teenager, we were out in Deer Park, the secondary school. Anyone in Deer Park with us?
Yeah.
No, we want to ignore those memories, do we? Deer Park was cold. The bathrooms, the ladies' toilets wouldn't lock. Anyone remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, some people remember that. But Deer Park was a great time. But I remember as a teenager doing breaking of bread with Myra. I remember breaking bread with her. And I remember as a young adult, when I was starting with our teenagers, our tribe youth ministry, her encouraging me. And I remember last year when I became a full-time pastor, in February 2023, she came up to me after a sermon and she wanted to encourage me. And she's known me since I was small, and she was encouraging me as a 30-year-old. And she said the word had blessed her, it had spoken to her. And she said, God has called you to do this, Dara. He's called you to be a pastor. Go for it. Go do it. I need a Myra Lenihan in my life. I need these women and men of faith who can speak to me. And this is what we should be doing as a community, amen?
Amen.
Whether you're six or you're 62, that there's this community of people that we can see, men and women of faith who are walking the walk and talking the talk. And if you knew Myra, it's not that her life was easy. She had a lot of heartache and a lot of grief, but she never wavered in her faith. She stayed with the Lord right to the end. Amen. We honour her. We give her a round of applause. Give God a round of applause. So this word is so inspired by her. And I think when someone passes away, but particularly as a Christian, as Dad said, there's a rejoicing in it, but there's a soberness to it too. Because life goes like that. And we can walk out the door, and when our time comes, our time comes. My prayer is that for everyone in this room, that we have many years of life.
Amen.
But we need to remember every day who God is, and the blessing and the grace of eternity with him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So how do we stay faithful with God? So to be faithful, I have to be full. I have to be full of faith. And what we're aiming for is that we're so full of faith that we overflow. So I can have faith when you don't have faith.
Amen.
And you can have faith when I don't have faith. I have to be full of that. But lots of people in their walk with God, including me at times, we can become faithless. It happens to every Christian, and we have to be aware of it. And some things that make us faithless when following God is being mocked or persecuted for it. Fear of being different. Sometimes it's boredom. And I just want to touch on this. If anyone's in a relationship for a long time, or you're working somewhere for years and years, you can get bored, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we're not admitting it, no? Okay, yeah, we can get bored, don't we? It happens in our walk with God too if we're not careful. It happens in church life if we're not careful. And sometimes we need to be aware that boredom is the wrong word. Sometimes it's consistency and safety. Yeah. But the other thing is this, I don't know about you, but anytime the Holy Spirit moves, I'm never bored. Anytime there's salvations, I'm never bored. Anytime there's healing or baptism, anytime that there's just a move of the Holy Spirit, that is never boring. That is life-giving. That is joyous. So can I encourage us, brothers and sisters, that if we are ever feeling that way in our walk with God or in our church life, let's stir our spirits and make sure it's not us, yeah? That it's we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we become faithless when we're disobedient. God has asked us to do something and we say no, or maybe we just don't do anything. Sometimes it's unanswered prayers or just difficulties. And if we're not careful, we can become faithless, and we don't want to do that, yeah? We want to be people of faith. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to look at the book of Hebrews, three different verses from it, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. Amen. It says this, "Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God." Hallelujah. "You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." And I love this part. "For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So how can I stay faithful in following God? We're going to look at four things today. And the first one is this. Deal with the doubts. Say it with me. Deal with the doubts. Everyone has doubts. Christians have doubts. And we're not to ignore them. We're not to pretend like they're not there. Everyone has doubts. It's what we do with them that's important. Yeah? And we just read it in verse 12. Be careful. It doesn't say be carefree. We got to be careful, yeah? Dear brothers and sisters, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. If they are, they're going to turn away from the living God. I can't guard your heart. I can't search your heart. I can't steward your heart. Only you can do that. It's your heart. It's your responsibility. I might see the overflow of your heart. So if your heart is full of generosity or love or grace, I'll see that in your words. I'll see that in your actions and how you live your life. And you'll see the opposite too. When your heart is full of hatred or bitterness or anger, you'll see that come out, don't you?
Yeah.
You'll see it come out. But we have to be careful with our hearts. And do you know, something that we can pray that's really easy is just in our prayer life, "God, search my heart." And he'll show you what's good in it, and he'll also show you what's bad in it. But if we don't protect our hearts, and when they're unbelieving, it's when doubt creeps in. And this is a definition of doubt. A feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. Here's the key word. It's a feeling. That does not mean that it's a fact. Are we allowed to have feelings? Absolutely. Our feelings are valid. It's our behaviours around them, isn't it? And God is not a God of uncertainty. He's a God of clarity. Is he going to tell us every single thing? No. Do we have to take steps of faith at times? Yes. But you can be certain that you can trust God. And when we have doubt and these feelings, here's what we need to do. We need to believe the truth that God has revealed. That's what we need to do. And the truth is the word of God. This is either all true or it's the biggest bunch of lies. What do we believe?
It's the truth.
It says in Psalm 23, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." So if I'm in a situation and I'm going, is God in this? What does the Bible tell me? He's with me. What's the truth? He's with me. What's my doubt? A lie. This is where I have to believe the word of God. You have to believe it.
Yes.
And it's daily. And if you go to the back of your Bible, most good Bibles, there'll be something called an index. And at the back of that is all different topics, from doubt, discouragement, divorce, addiction. You want to know what the Bible says about what you're going through? Open the back of your Bible. They've done the work for you. There are the verses. Or use Google. It's not difficult. You want to know the word of God? Look, search, and it's the truth of it. It's the truth. So we're not to, it's not that we can't doubt, it's that we can't stay in a place of doubt. But here's the good news, brothers and sisters. God uses the doubter. Whatever doubt you have in your life. I'm not good enough, I'm old, I'm divorced, I'm bait, I'm broke, whatever your doubt is, God uses doubters. And the great thing about our God, hallelujah, is he is patient with us.
Hallelujah.
He's so patient. And there's women and men, heroes of faith in the Bible, who did amazing things for God, but they had some big moments of doubt. Do you want to have a look at them quickly? Yeah, we have a look. Abraham and Sarah, their moment of doubt was when God told them they'd be parents in old age. Moses, his moment of doubt, when God told him he'd lead people out of slavery. Gideon, his moment of doubt was when an angel told him he would be a leader and rescue Israel. Now, if I had an angel appear to me and tell me I'm going to rescue a whole country, a whole nation, I'd be doubting too, wouldn't you? Yeah? Yeah. It's just recorded in the Bible for him, unfortunately. Zechariah, his moment of doubt was when God told him he'd be a father in old age. I wonder if that's prophetic for someone here today. Did you see it twice?
Yeah.
God's a God of repetition. We looked at that the other week, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we see Thomas, when the other disciples told him Jesus had risen from the dead. Men and women of faith who'd done amazing things for the Lord, and they doubted, but they didn't stay in it. They trusted God. Who do you trust? God. Amen?
Amen.
And I believe this is a prophetic word for someone. It's from the book of Numbers. And it says this: but my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me. So I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. And I believe prophetically for someone here today or multiple people, you're praying to God about your next place physically, whether that's a home or a move. And here's the key part. It's your attitude. See, with Caleb, his attitude was different to everyone else's. You can control your attitude. You get a choice about what my attitude is. We sing it most Sundays after the happy birthdays. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You get a choice. And prophetically as well, we see with Caleb, he remained loyal to me. The me is God. God is always faithful to us. And it's for us to be faithful and loyal to him as well. You get a choice again. Do I be loyal to God and faithful? Or do I become faithless? But prophetically, if you're here, I believe this word is for you, especially around a home or a move. It's your attitude and stay loyal to the Lord. And he will bring you into the land. And the last part too. It's not just you, it's your descendants. It's bigger than you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So how can I stay faithful in following God? What was the first one? Deal with the doubts. Come on. The second one, find your friends. I want to look like that when I'm old. I still have the glasses, I still have the curls, that'd be magic. And a little gold chain. Go on, Betty, whoever she is. Find your friends. Here's what Jesus says in the book of John. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Brothers and sisters, we're called to love one another. And if we want to stay faithful in following God, it's not a secret. You can't do it on your own. You need people around you. You need friendship. And absolutely, God has given marriages, and there's friendship in that. There's families, but we need the wider community. I needed a Myra Lenehan. I needed a woman of faith in my life, an older woman. Just an example of that. And people will know us by the way that we love each other. And can God meet our needs directly? Of course he can. Can God provide for you physically? Yes. Financially? Yes. Mentally? Yes. Emotionally? Yes. Relationally? Yes. Spiritually? Yes. Our first port of call when anything happens should be God. It shouldn't be picking up the phone and I'm calling my mother or I'm calling my pastor or I'm calling my best friends. I can do that later, but it should be God. My first port of call shouldn't be my mind racing after something happens or I'm reacting. I should go to God with this directly, amen? So our first port of call, whatever is going on, let me go to God. and he can meet those needs directly. However, he usually meets our needs through community. It's through other people, whether we like it or not. And some of the introverts are like, no, I don't want this. And I hear it all the time as a pastor. I hear stories, I'd say, nearly every week, particularly around financial situations, and saying, I needed God to provide. And he did. He used someone else, whether it was a letter through the door with money in it, or someone said, I have this, what you're looking for, that you lack, or here's a car. But Irish people are very bad at accepting from other people. Anyone notice that?
Yeah.
Very bad. You'd be saying, even to pay for something at the shop, do you ever see that? Or over coffee?
Yeah.
People be fighting with their debit cards and their phones and their cash. I'm going to pay. It's like Mrs. Doyle, isn't it? Father Ted, do you remember her? Go on. All the internationals, I like, I don't know what she means. It's for another day. But God uses people, brothers and sisters. And if God wants to use someone in your life to bless you, don't say no. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves.
Amen.
And say yes. And God meets our physical and spiritual needs when others do some of the following. So when others care for us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
When others pray for us.
Amen.
When others hear our confession of sin.
Amen.
Amen. It talks about it in the book of James, that when we confess our sins to each other, there's healing in it. Mm. When others help us see our blind spots.
Amen.
Oh, I'm not blind, I got 20/20 vision. I'm grand. We all have blind spots, everyone. And to encourage us not to give up in our walk with God. We need community. And when you are in situations or seasons where life is hard, I don't know about you, but I need someone to care for me. I need a brother and sister in Christ. I need someone to pray for me when I can't pray for myself. I need someone to hear the confession of my sin. Because sometimes that's how the enemy gets in, isn't it? Sometimes we're as sick as our secrets, we're as sick as our sin. I need someone to see the things that I'm not seeing in my life. And I need someone to encourage me. Even pastors need encouragement, don't we?
Amen.
Oh, that's so training. I just go home. But good Christian friends, someone who's a good Christian, who loves you, who loves the Lord, they should remind us of what's true, what the Bible says. They should be a good example. Because there's a lot of people who are Christians, and they believe in God, and they say a prayer, and they might come to church, but they're not actively living out their walk with God. They don't have an active relationship with God. It's really important that we're aware of the people that we're surrounding ourselves with, because we don't want someone to lead us astray or for us to lead someone else astray. Amen? We're leading people to Jesus. Yeah? Good Christian friends will challenge us when we're wavering. But for someone to challenge us, they need to have a relationship with us. And to have a relationship that takes vulnerability, it takes time, it takes accountability. And there's risk in relationship. But Jesus modeled for us what to do. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was hurt. Jesus was rejected. But Jesus also forgave.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, that's how we're to do life with people. It's not that we're not going to get hurt. We will. But it's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's the grace of God. And good Christian friends will keep us company. We need that too. We need a love. We need all of it. But here's what we read in the book of Hebrews. It said this: you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Now, the caveat of all of this is, we looked at love. We're to love each other, amen? We're to be gracious and kind and truthful and really support each other. This isn't permission for people in the church to go, your issue is drink, your issue is lust, your issue is the way that you look, that's a sin, I can't help it. You're not going to go out and point everyone's issues out. That's not what the scripture is about. But it's those that we're in relationship, that we love as brothers and sisters in Christ, that none of us fall away from God. We don't want anyone to fall away from the Lord. And there's a command, I must I must say that when I love someone, when I love God, and as my brother and sister in Christ. Hallelujah. So how can I stay faithful in following God? Number one was deal with the depths. Number two, find your friends. Number three, have joy like Jesus. Hallelujah. Do we love Jesus?
Yes.
The joy of the Lord is my
strength.
Hallelujah. Come on, church. You know your Bible. Come on. We read this in Hebrews. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Hallelujah. For faithful to the end. And here's what it says in Hebrews 12. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. How do we do this? We do this by keeping our eyes on
Jesus.
Let's try that again. Keeping our eyes on
Jesus.
That's how we get to the end. That's how Myra got to the end. She kept her eyes on Jesus. Not on her problems, not on her feelings, not on her sickness. She kept her eyes on the Lord. Hallelujah. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Hallelujah. The joy that was awaiting Jesus was eternity in heaven. Brothers and sisters, when we experience the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, we get a glimpse of heaven. It's a glimpse of eternity. And when we get to heaven, there's no sickness.
Amen.
There's no tears.
Amen.
There's no shame.
Yeah.
There's no guilt. When we get to heaven, we get eternity with God. And we get the joy of it. We're getting a glimpse of the joy here on earth. But there's joy in heaven. That's forever. I don't know about you, but I want eternity with God. And when we're trying to stay faithful to God, sometimes we get so caught up in what's happening in this life, we forget about the next one. This is not your home. Heaven is your home.
Hallelujah.
And we're to build up our treasure in heaven. And it doesn't take away the struggle on earth. But brothers and sisters, the things of this world, they'll all pass. We're here for a moment. Eternity. That should be our focus. And the same way that Jesus awaited the joy, we do the same. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. So how can I stay faithful in God and following God? Have joy like Jesus. And the fourth one and the final one is this. The fruit of the Spirit. How do I stay faithful? The fruit of the Spirit. Do we know them? Anyone who's in Sunday school is ready to go. Galatians 5 says, but the Holy Spirit produces, not you, not your strength, not your discipline, not your 5 o'clock in the morning routine. Oh, it's not none of those things. It's the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, say it with me, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want to stay faithful in following God. I need the Holy Spirit. That produces it. I can be disciplined for so long. I can be, I don't know, focused for so long. But life happens. And we need daily a filling of the Holy Spirit. Daily I need to talk to God. Daily I need to hear his word and his voice. Daily I need to lift up my hands. Daily I need to worship. It's an ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit. And when I want to see the fruit of my life, I want to see where I'm doing well. If I have these things in my life, it's showing God is moving. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And the more I rely on God, the more his Spirit can produce faithfulness in me. I have to rely on God. Not my bank account. Not the people I know. Not my strength, it has to be God. And sometimes, I believe this is prophetic, sometimes God will strip the very things that you lean on. You're wondering, why is my health gone? Why is that relationship gone? Why is the job gone? Sometimes God strips us right back to fully rely on him. Have I put things above God? Have I made these idols in my life? But when we trust God and we allow His Spirit to fill us, you can fully rely on God. God will never let you down.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Does anyone here want faith to finish their walk with God?
Yes.
That when we get to heaven, that Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. If that's you, will you lift a hand?
Amen.
You want that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So we looked at these four things today. Deal with the doubt. Find your friends. Have joy like Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit. These are some of the things and how we can stay faithful in our walk with God. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian a day or you're a Christian all your life. We all need to be reminded of how to be faithful in following the Lord. And we're going to sing a song in a moment. We've already sang it today. And it's the song Yeshua. And you might be saying, what were they saying? This is it. Yeshua means God delivers, He saves, and He rescues. God has delivered you. God has saved you. God has rescued you. And before we pray to God about things that we need to be faithful in following Him, I want us to thank God for His faithfulness in our lives. That He has saved us, delivered us, and rescued us. So before we ask, we always want to thank God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's worship our God. Amen.
Guy was in his 80s, and he came into the new land and he saw a mountain, and he said to the leader, Joshua, by God's grace, I capture that mountain, I conquer it. And you could say, hang on a minute, you're a bit old, and you could say, this isn't even your land, but it was the promised land. And about half of our church are local Irish born here, and the other half have come from all over the world. And I believe prophetically, the word Dara had about Caleb is also for the half of this church who've come here from other lands. And God is saying to you, you are able to succeed beyond your wildest dreams. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? If is God for you? If Something that's gone over most people's heads is that when I was on holidays a few weeks ago, and just as I was going on holidays, for the first time, a Christian, a born-again Christian, from this church as it happens, was elected to Cork City Council. There were only 31 councillors representing the city, and they make decisions that impact your life and my life, your future and my future. They made a decision to put all the investment in the street outside us here and transform the street we're on. And one of those 31 is a born-again Christian from this church. Not only that, hallelujah. He was not only a Christian, and we're a minority here. Most people in Ireland are illiterate spiritually. I say it with respect. They don't know what God is. They don't know what they believe. They're all mixed up. They have no moral compass. They don't know where they're going. They're falling into one thing after another. God wants everyone to have a compass, a moral compass, to show us the way to go. And not only was he a Christian, and that's a minority, he was an immigrant. Honore Kamengi has come from Cameroon. And when he went up for election, some people were rolling their eyes, others were kind of having a laugh. Who does he think he is? He's not even from here. And yet he is the first believer in over 100 years to be elected to Cork City Council. Why? He had a little bit of faith, and God was for him, not against him. And then I learned, just as I was in holidays, he's now being elected again to be the Deputy Lord Mayor of the City of Cork. Hallelujah! So if you will, he is the second most powerful person in the city at the moment, and he was just a postman and black immigrant man from Cameroon, delivering post in Mahon and Blackrock, and yet God raised him up, and God has given him glory, and he and his wife Vivian had a bit of faith. And I believe prophetically, God is saying, particularly to those of you who've moved here from other lands, for you, and for your children, and for your children's children, God is for you. And if God, and I believe God is speaking through the example of Caleb, God is saying, do you see a mountain in your life? How about having a bit of faith and going up that mountain and taking that mountain symbolically? You don't have to go up Patrick's Hill with a flag, no, you don't mean it like that. Just believe God is for you. And if you believe it, if you know that God is for you, I just believe that the Lord is going to bless your life in a way that you haven't thought of. Who would have thought that a black eye, a born-again Christian guy, would be the Deputy Lord Mayor of Cork? Anyone who grew up in Cork would never have believed it, but God saw it all the time. If God can do that for Honore, what can he do for you? What doors can he open for you? So just before Dara prays, I'm going to pray. If you're local here, would you just stand next to someone who maybe has come here from another country? And let's just pray that your faithfulness, that's it, go on. Is there anyone going to stand with anyone? Just stand with someone. Anywhere around the hall. Just lay a hand and bless someone. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, for those you've sent from other lands. And we pray the blessing of Caleb would be the blessing in their lives. And we ask you, God, as they remain faithful to you, that you would open the doors and do miracles in their lives, and they would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and they would know your favor here in Ireland by your blessing. And we pray it in Jesus' name, and God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Dara's going to close us in prayer.
Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. We're not going to ask you to come up because the Holy Spirit is where you're at. You bring that with you. Same Holy Spirit that's in me is in you. So let's close our eyes. Let's honor God. And if you want to raise a hand to heaven or put it on your heart, whatever you want. But but we're going to pray to God, because we believe and we know that when we talk to God, when we pray to God, he hears us. So God, we thank you that even when we haven't been faithful, you always have been. You have never abandoned us. You have never forsaken us. You have never rejected us, Lord. And so this week, as we honor you, Lord, we ask you to bless our week ahead. We ask you, God, to provide. We ask you, God, to protect. We ask you, God, to bless us abundantly. We ask you, Lord, that as we honor you, that you would honor us. And we ask you, Lord, in the areas where we know that we are struggling to be faithful in, any doubts that creep in, we speak the truth of your word over it. Help us to have friendships and people in our lives, God, who point us to you. Help us to have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And we ask you, Jesus, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can be fruitful and we can be faithful. And until we meet again next week, God, keep everyone safe and the ones that we love safe as well. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.